Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour lunar eclipse limbo. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Seattle to Shreveport, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
It's a Trash Tuesday, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Trash Tuesday, what is it that you're trashing? I'm excited about my trash today. I'm sure many of you have been waiting all week to do this, is very just like me. And so we will get to our trashes here on the show next hour. We want to get to your trashes throughout this hour and all of them throughout this morning's show. So if you've got to trash something that is bothering you, somebody that is annoying you, deliver the goods here simply by dialing us up at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227 if you want to deliver that trash on the phone. Also, hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Follow me and tweet at me there, DA on CBS. Big guest morning as well coming up this morning in 2 hours from now. Ben Volin, NFL writer of the Boston Globe, will talk to Ben about the Cam Newton Patriots signing. And how that's going to look, how that's going to work, and what to expect from Cam in New England this year. Also, Major League Fishing is back, and they're dropping their hooks in the water, catching bass on a weekly basis, and we love talking to these guys. They're always wonderful conversations, really fun characters, and they're fishing. The sport is going off. They are right now back, and they're doing their thing. We'll talk to Jacob Wheeler from Major League Fishing, one of the pro anglers on the tour, coming up here next hour, or I should say hour number three as well. And in hour number four, assistant GM to the Calgary Flames, Chris Snow. Chris will help us kind of navigate what the return of hockey is going to look like. Also, Chris was diagnosed with ALS, and so there has been a big social media push to help raise awareness and funding for ALS research. which if you follow me on Twitter, you saw that I partook in and tried to make a viral video and be part of the ALS challenge last week, the trick shot challenge. Chris is at the epicenter of that. We'll talk to Chris coming up here in hour number four as well. On top of it, this week, in fact, just yesterday marked the Holyfield Tyson Bite Night. We'll talk about where we were when later on in this hour. In Atlanta, the Hawks Arena is being used as a massive polling location. We'll talk about sports and what that means in terms of the relationship with Election Day coming up here, because this is pretty cool. Also, we'll talk about some of the players around the NFL very upset about the type of contract Cam signed, including Richard Sherman. Wow. That's coming up this morning on the program as well. Tomorrow is Mothership at the Movies, and just so you know, we are reviewing The Sandlot, the 1993 film, which is an American baseball classic. We figure it perfect for July 4th weekend. The Sandlot will be tomorrow's Mothership at the Movies sports film for review. So that's how it sets up this morning on the show, and we begin with Ezekiel Elliott, where Zeke was playing video games and having it recorded on Twitch. You may or may not have heard of this platform, but this is a video conferencing platform where people play video games and they're mic'd up, and so they're playing against other people and everybody can watch on this platform. If you can't believe people sit around and watch other people play video games and listen to what they say as they play video games, this has been a platform that has built up more popularity in recent years, especially with how some e-gamers have become millionaires and filled arenas. So watching people play video games has been its own industry, but also watching celebrities play video games. And we've had athletes in the past perhaps get into trouble because they're really laid back. They're really relaxed. It's a conversational type of backdrop. And I think a lot of these guys don't even realize they're being recorded, or they forget. Blake Snell's infamous comments now about not wanting to come back and play baseball, that it wasn't safe, that happened as he was playing video games via Twitch. And now we have had another incident where Ezekiel Elliott may have forgotten, well, forget the may have, he did forget he was being recorded and that his feed was still on, and he admitted to being high. He said that he was low-key faded and then realized, oh, crap, I didn't sign off yet. So SportsIllustratedSI.com's Jimmy Traina writes about this, and the headline is Ezekiel Elliott forgets to log off, admits to being high on Twitch. And this made Ezekiel Elliott very upset. Zeke tweeted, actually, I was referring to the few drinks I had, which I said during the live stream. Doesn't that make this defamation? You guys will be hearing from my lawyers. Now, I would argue that SI is definitely not at risk for defamation here, because when Zeke says he's, quote, low-key faded, I guess it could mean drinks, but in most parlance, in most corners, that means you've smoked some weed, which is fine. I don't think anybody's going to judge that. In 2020, that whole stigma seemed to fade away for most people. But what's hysterical is Zeke getting mad that his Twitch was still on, because Zeke said, quote, bro, I'm low-key faded. Oh, snap. Didn't even end my stream yet. As he looked at his phone. So Zeke's now hot and bothered because SI published this, but ultimately this was his mistake. And is this big a deal? Of course not. But what is seemingly a big deal is that Zeke always plays the fool. It never seems to end. He always has a news story or a news cycle that surrounds something silly that he did. Sometimes it's more than silly. It's worse than silly. The question becomes, at 24 years old, will Zeke ever stop playing the fool? It is where we begin your cold open.
Officially from the three, they run a read option handoff. Elliott broke through and walked the dog. That is Ezekiel Elliott at his best. Touchdown.
Oh, bro, I'm low-key faded, bro.
Are you?
Oh, no, I didn't even end my stream yet.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Brad Sham on Cowboys Radio, and that was Zeke.
Bro, I am low-key faded. Oh, no, I didn't turn off my phone.
Now, let's just go back to April, where, remember, he and Dak Prescott had the house party when there was a statewide quarantine. Oops, that was early in the coronavirus. They were not supposed to be gathering with 10 or more people, and seemingly they definitely had 10 or more people. That's Zeke in the middle of things. Then he tests positive for the coronavirus in June and was, quote, livid after his positive test was reported by the media, as he cited HIPAA laws. Which is funny because we've learned about all these other professional athletes that have been public about testing positive as well. He is being sued for more than $200,000 by a woman who claimed his dogs attacked her while she was cleaning the pool. Zeke, of course, also has had the multiple run-ins and brushes with the law. He was at that music concert where he pushed over security guard, got into trouble for that. Zeke has constantly been in the limelight for the wrong reasons during off seasons. Every off season, we joke about this on the show. Set your watch to it. Every off season, Zeke is in the middle of some other bad story. And I just think Ezekiel Elliott is never going to quite grow up. I mean, how long do you have to be in the league before this type of stuff just stops happening to you? And the fact is, these aren't awful things. These aren't terrible, awful things in this sphere. But Zeke has been connected to domestic violence as well. And Zeke has just kind of never, quote, grown up. And I don't think we're going to get there. I really don't. I think we're at this point in time now where you've been in the league for four seasons. You're now in your mid-20s, and you're still acting like a kid. And I just think that's what he's always going to be. And look, let's face it, last year, he held out looking for a new contract, got it, and showed up overweight and had one of his worst seasons. Zeke has never quite understood the next level it takes to be a professional. He's a really good running back, and he helps the Cowboys win football games. And his talent is obvious. But Ezekiel Elliott's always going to be a knucklehead. He just has proven this time and time and time and time again. And is it a big deal to be smoking weed while playing video games? No, of course not. But if he's so worried about his reputation, then there's a million other incidents that he could have protected his reputation, and he didn't do so. So it's funny when he lashes out now. I'm going to sue for defamation. You're going to hear from my lawyers. Man, admitting that you're faded, admitting that you smoked weed while on Twitch, is the least of any of the incidents that you have proven that you've acted the fool or you should be worried about defamation. I mean, it's always Zeke lashing out at somebody else. How could you report this? Why would you say that? How did this get out? Why are you filming me? Zeke, come on. At some point, you got to stop blaming the messenger here. And of all of the players this offseason, if I would have given you a pool of 1,000 players, okay, who admits they're high while playing video games mistakenly because their phone is still on and then gets mad about it? Zeke would probably be in your top three picks. That says all you need to know. Don't worry. He's only got $50 million guaranteed coming to him for the Cowboys. It's not like they're on the hook for anything. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Also, you got to love Zeke being like, I wasn't smoking weed. I was just drinking. When it wasn't that long ago that he was actually in a Seattle dispensary. Remember this? Yeah, he was actually shopping, which is legal in Washington and fun. Oh, how could you report this? I wasn't there. What are you talking about? It's always something. Whereas if I gave you a pick out of 1,000 football players of this incident happening, where was Zeke on your draft list, your fantasy draft list for this happening?
I forget top three. He's number one. There is a fun game I play with my friends. It's called Every Offseason It Hits, Guess the Zeke Elliott Story We Get Before Training Camp. We've already gotten about four. Usually it's one really good one. So, of course, Zeke's at the top of the list. It's just ridiculous. And I'll flip this another side, and I know one of these stories did involve Dak Prescott. But if you're Dak Prescott, at some point you got to be looking at the fact that Zeke got paid and continues to have bad clouds of stories follow him every offseason and go, how much more do I need to do or prove as a leader to get paid by Jerry Jones? Because this is almost insulting at this point.
That Jerry decided to pay Zeke last first, year, yes. But that Dak can't actually get his
yes.
money.
Zeke held out. Dak didn't. Dak did the right thing, and Dak still has not gotten his money, and there Zeke got his money, and his lawyer, honestly, is getting more work than a Cowboys fullback at this point.
Also, it can't feel good to be the Cowboys to have forked over that cash to Zeke, and still, he's acting like a child. I mean, last year, he definitely reports out of shape after the holdout. He never gets on track. This offseason, as you said, there's been three or four incidents of him being in trouble or having a bad mark attached to him. And these are all things that happened after you gave him $90 million.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's not as if he got the money and was like, okay, I get it now. I can't lose this money. The guy literally has this lawyer on retainer. Does he need any more work? He's already dealing with the lawsuit with the dogs. Does he need now the Twitch defamation threatened lawsuit? Yeah, if you're the Cowboys, you're forking over this money, and it's just a guy doesn't get it. Maybe Zeke doesn't need to get it. Maybe as a running back, he could be basically a giant child, do all this stuff, as long as he's not legally getting arrested or anything like that. Maybe you're the Cowboys and you just learn to live with it and learn to live with that Zeke. But, you know, if I'm another member of the Cowboys, specifically a quarterback who is trying to do the right thing and trying to get paid by this organization, I feel personally insulted that we have a man-child running around doing so many stupid things monthly almost when he's away from the facility, and he held out and he got paid, and here I am doing everything and I can't get paid. That would be insulting to me.
Well, and when you say that maybe he's a running back, so maybe it doesn't matter, it's true, it's not a leadership position.
Right.
But also, you do want to extend your career as much as possible at a position where you're totally expendable. And so for Zeke, guess what? At running back, you need to make sure your body's in tip-top condition. You
right.
don't let it go. You don't give teams reasons to cut you prematurely or not sign you on the back end. It's kind of like at running back, because you can cycle through them so quickly, you should be on your best behavior.
Yeah.
I think about Curtis Martin. Curtis Martin was always the absolute best professional in the locker room. Everybody looked at Curtis Martin as a total leader. And part of the reason he lasted so long was because teams could trust he was going to be in the best shape and that he was always going to be an asset, even if he wasn't as productive as he used to be. LaDainian Tomlinson was the same way. Tomlinson wasn't as productive as he was early in his career with the Chargers, with the Jets, but he was an asset to have around. People wanted him around. Teams wanted him around. With Zeke, once he's no longer a 1,200-yard back, would you ever want him in your locker room
No.
ever again?
No, and the perfect current example of that is actually Frank Gore. I mean, Frank Gore is getting jobs based on
right.
his leadership and the fact that players want to look up to him in the locker room. And honestly, Frank Gore, we're having Hall of Fame discussions for. We're shocked at how high up he is the all-time rushing list. If Frank Gore had acted like a child and maybe fizzled out when his best abilities were gone maybe 6-7 years ago now, he's not accumulating these stats, and is Frank Gore going to the Hall of Fame? I don't know that. Frank Gore's going to the Hall of Fame as a compiler, basically, in my mind. So the fact that, you know, you could be a leader, I guess, and be more mature is going to provide you with more suitors past the prime of your career, and that's exactly what Zeke is doing. He's Heisman posing all of those.
I think that's true. I think it's true because when you look at Zeke versus Frank Gore, Zeke has the better talent, more upside, has the potential for a better career. Frank Gore was a grinder. Frank Gore was a lunch pail guy. Frank Gore never had top-end Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith-type talent, and yet is right there with those guys' all-time rushing yards. Zeke has more natural talent, and Zeke has been very productive, but Zeke's career won't ever be anywhere near the longevity of Frank Gore because he just doesn't care as much. His head's just not nearly screwed on straight like a Frank Gore, like an LDT, LaDainian, like a Curtis Martin. When we come back, we've got your best audio of the day. One Super Bowl winning quarterback believes Cam's going to struggle in New England. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, happy Trash Tuesday, and welcome back. We begin with Super Bowl winning quarterback Phil Sims, who is looking at the addition of Cam Newton in New England and says it might not be that easy. Here's Phil on WFNZ in Charlotte.
I think it's a great fit for New England. I think it's a great fit for Cam Newton. I'm sure that Josh McDaniels is already going, well, let's see here. What can I do? Because he loves nothing more than designing new plays for players that come in. I think he will be their starter, but I kid you not, that New England offense, it's bigger than a dictionary. And it's been put together, and it's been going on for 21 years. And it's you know, a whole different system, wording system, than he's had in the past.
So all of those things suggest that maybe Cam Newton won't necessarily smoothly adopt and fit into the New England offense. You know, sometimes I hesitate on analyzing the upcoming NFL season too tightly because we're not operating from a normal standpoint where Cam Newton would come to camp and he would start learning the playbook right now, and he would have tons of access to the resources that the Patriots have, that he could report to Foxborough, be around the facility, even outside of mini camps and training camp, and then training camp would open up at the end of next month, and that he would completely immerse himself and be working with players and running routes or having routes run with him by wide receivers and offensive linemen, working with them and being around all of the coaching. We don't know that. We don't know what access he's going to have. We don't know what practices are going to look like. We don't know if there's going to be preseason games. And we don't know if the NFL season begins when it's supposed to be scheduled on time. I say that all because we don't know if Cam Newton's going to be able to grasp this offense. I think during a normal offseason, there'd be a better chance. But I'd still have my questions just about the fit, because Cam Newton has not been, over the course of his career, the long-term course of his career, a quick-step, read-throw quarterback. For the bulk of his career, he has been a guy that has utilized his body, his enormous size, his enormous skill set, his enormously wonderful mobile skill set, and slipped around of the pocket, made big plays, went downfield. It wasn't all timing, crisp accuracy, know where everybody has to be when. And that's what he's had to adjust to the last year and a half or so in the Carolina Panthers offense, and now throw that into the next level in New England. Now, of course, Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick have proven that they are going to be able to give players a subset of plays that they know they can handle and put them in positions to win. So from that standpoint, I trust the relationship between Cam and New England to have some success. They'll find what Cam does well, and they'll try to really highlight it. But there really is no guarantee that this automatically works. Not only because we don't know if Cam in the Patriots offense necessarily works, we don't know about this offseason. And we just don't know what the season looks like. And we don't know what anything looks like. You know, what happens if we come back and see, boy, in the NBA, all these big teams are getting picked off. The Bucks lost in the second round. The Lakers lost in the opening round. The Raptors lost. The Clippers lost. And suddenly we're left with a Jazz and Magic NBA Finals. And suddenly in the NHL playoffs, some top teams lose as well. And we turn around 2 months into the baseball season and the Astros stink, the Yankees stink, and suddenly, you know, the Orioles are in first place. We might say, gosh, none of these seasons make any sense. And so anything that we thought we knew, we can't really address with the upcoming season. Now, the opposite could happen as well. But what I'm saying is, I think it's really kind of impossible to project what we think is going to happen based on what would happen during a normal season like Cam in New England. I see a lot of people trying to project because it's a fun exercise. I just don't know if there's any basis in reality for doing that. Here is Browns offensive lineman Chris Hubbard, who joined the Jim Rome show here on CBS Sports Radio and excited about his starting quarterback.
I think he's going to come back even better, man. I see it. I see it in his training. I've been watching. He's going to have a heck of a year, man. I think so. And you'll see when we get back on the front lines, you'll see what's going to happen. I wouldn't want to block for anybody else, you know, that he does a great job of, you know, putting things together. And I've seen a lot of that, like, throughout this whole offseason right now. He's been joining in meetings and, you know, just commenting on a lot of things that he said that we could do better. He's a pro, man. That's what you want in the league.
High praise from one of the offensive linemen for Baker Mayfield. And Chris Hubbard actually played in Pittsburgh as well and was one of the offensive linemen for Ben Roethlisberger for a number of seasons. So he has been in a winning organization and has seen a Hall of Fame quarterback up close and personal. Let's hope that Baker Mayfield is all of those things, because last year Baker was none of those things. And that was a big reason why the Browns really never lived up to the preseason expectations. I think a lot of that had to do with Freddie Kitchens as well. Kitchens is gone. That's a good thing. He never should have been the head coach. And hopefully Baker Mayfield does grow past all of those things. Look, the Browns are good for football. When the Browns are good, Cleveland is alive. The Browns fan base is one of the best in the NFL. It's fun to watch games with the dog pound. Always has been, always will be. And the Browns have a lot of interesting, exciting potential, and it would be nice if they put it together, unlike last year. And that starts with Baker Mayfield. So it's encouraging to hear one of his offensive linemen say that many good things about Baker. But I would say the same thing that I said about Cam Newton in New England. Projecting what's going to happen this season, I don't know. I mean, wouldn't it be wild if the Browns are finally great and it happens in front of no fans this year and no people in the dog pound? And finally, from the Cardinals, here's Paul DeJong, who was on Tiki and Tierney yesterday here on CBS Sports Radio. Could a shortened 60-game season benefit St. Louis?
We're going to look at it as an advantage. Basically, by the way we prepare and our attention to detail, I think is going to be the huge difference maker this year. And I don't think we have a ton of ego guys on our team as well. So, you know, being able to compete as a team, I think, is going to be the biggest advantage for anyone in the league this year. Just if we just focus on winning as a team, you know, who's going to be the hero tonight type mentality, that's where we're at. Been playing in the dirt.
Well, for this Cardinals team, like a lot of teams, they're going to have to come together relatively quickly, get this restart going on, and not get off to a slow start. Because with 60 games, if you have a bad first month because you're just not playing well together, guys are rusty, there isn't any chemistry, a couple of bad starts by some of your big players, then you are sunk. I mean, if you are 20 games into a 60-game season, that's a third of a way there already. Think about it. 20 games in, and let's just say that you're 8-12. That's the equivalent of being at Memorial Day already. Yikes. You just can't afford to get off to one of those really bad starts. You've got to keep your head above water in a 60-game season. And that is your sound check. Yesterday's sound check was controversial because Bobby Valentine was inserted as the third clip, and Bobby V has notably been banned from the DA show for life. He is part of the fearsome foursome, or the gruesome foursome, which include Joey Chestnut, Bobby V, Richard Justice, and he who shall not be named. Those four will never be allowed back on the show. Now, we had a clip yesterday. Pete the Body insists that this was strategic, that he put this in to get a rise out of Mraz. Mraz has called that out and saying that's not true because, Pete, you don't do sound check anymore. And so yesterday, it led to quite a day here on the DA show. Today, Mraz called a bluff early because the sound check sheet that he got had Babe Ruth talking about not being a fan of the Universal DH, Patrick Mahomes saying that he's going to retire from the NFL effective immediately from the Zach Gelb show, and Lola Bunny admitting that Bugs used PEDs for his matchup against the Monstars in Space Jam.
Pretty good sound check.
It was the best sound check. But Mraz called the bluff early in our G chat saying, what you guys think, I wouldn't look at the sound check sheet. So Mraz, were you on a heightened alert today? You kind of blew up the spot here. Were you on a heightened alert today? You didn't take the bait. So you definitely were kind of focused on reading the sound check sheet today?
So you guys will not believe this, but I'm going to tell you the honest truth. No, I was reading the sound check just because that's what I normally do, is read the sound check.
Okay.
And you guys are going to laugh. I didn't read what was said at first. I went through briefly and went Babe Ruth, Patrick Mahomes, Lola Bunny. And then I read what everybody was saying. The Babe Ruth didn't even click with me, and I said, oh, stupid sound check thing yesterday. Now we're going to try to get my goat. No, 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 not on my watch. I'm calling this out right now. But I will say there is actually a chance I would have read it and been okay had you included somebody else stupid other than Lola Bunny in the third clip.
So you would have believed that Babe Ruth was in sound check?
All right, so the reason I would have believed...
And that Patrick Mahomes is retiring effective immediately?
Again, I didn't read at first what the others were saying, and the reason I would have believed Babe Ruth is only because our movie is Sandlot, and I watched Sandlot last night, and Babe Ruth is such a big part of Sandlot that I think in my mind, Babe Ruth is just going to be a part of the show this week. So I was going through, and it was Lola Bunny that really hit for me and went, oh, they're trying to trick me into something because of what happened with soundcheck yesterday.
So... had instead Chris Hubbard been the third clip from the Jim Rome show talking about Baker Mayfield, I could have went into a sound check that had Babe Ruth talking about the Universal DH this summer and Patrick Mahomes retiring on the Zach Gelb show, and your antenna wouldn't have gone up.
There's a chance. I can't say for sure because I might have moved over to the taglines. And look, this is why I am who I am. I'm telling the truth. I did not get fooled, but I'm telling you how you might have been able to fool me. You went too far with Lola Bunny. And honestly, I'm a little disappointed in all of you guys because we had a very rocky day on the show, and I would have thought a little rebirth today. Not try to anger anybody, not try to call anybody out. And here you were. You tried to play a game with soundcheck, and I caught it.
But we did fool you. I mean, you think that you were clever and you caught this, but it took you until Lola Bunny to be clued into this. Like, you accepted Babe Ruth for Sandlot. You accepted Mike Biseglia landing Patrick Mahomes to say anything on the Zach Gelb show.
No, no, no.
It took you to Lola Bunny because you didn't do your job after what happened yesterday, because a real person would have read every single word of those descriptions on those cuts to make sure there was no reason to keep them off the show.
No, no, no. Because what I do is, because I send the topic list and I know all the topics that are usually to talk about, when I read soundcheck, the first thing I want to identify is all the names because I want to know if there's a story I missed. And I'm not saying that after Lola Bunny I wouldn't have looked at what Babe Ruth or Patrick Mahomes said. All I am telling you is those specific names on a soundcheck sheet didn't raise an eyebrow. It wasn't that I didn't even know that the Patrick Mahomes thing still, to be honest, until you just read it, said the Zach Gelb show. I read that he was announcing his retirement after. But yeah, it just those names didn't register an antenna. Lola Bunny registers an antenna big time.
So maybe we're identifying some problematic situations here for you. Your reading comprehension's a disaster.
But we've known that my whole life.
Non-existent.
That you looked at a sheet and you saw Babe Ruth, check. Patrick Mahomes, check. Lola Bunny, wait a second. And then you would go back at that point and see, I hope, that what Babe Ruth was saying, weighing in on this year's DH.
Yes,
and
yes.
Patrick Mahomes yes. was on the Zach Gelb show retiring immediately.
My thought and belief is that I would have gotten there. I'm not telling you I would have never gotten there.
My belief.
Fingers crossed.
What I'm telling you is just a brief scan of names, it was Lola Bunny that raised the antenna, not Mahomes or Ruth.
Man,
that's all I'm saying.
This is even, you know what, Pete, great job, because this exercise has been even better than we could have imagined. What Mraz is admitting is that the day after a huge controversy erupted on the show because he didn't read soundcheck, he hopes he would have caught, by simply reading six words, that all three cuts were fake because they were so unbelievably out of this world. He believes he may have caught it.
I can't believe we opened up another can of worms off of this. Just something that I never thought we would hear from somebody's mouth, especially an executive producer.
My belief is I would have eventually realized Babe Ruth didn't have thoughts on this year's 60-game schedule.
This is what I get for being honest with you guys.
Skimming of the email, I would have gotten there, I think.
My belief is I would have gotten there. I mean, I didn't even notice that it said the Zach Gelb show the first time I looked at it. But maybe after the sixth time and really staring at it for 4 hours.
Pat Mahomes retired? Who knew?
Again, all I was looking at first was the names. I would have read it at some point, but I just wanted to see the names. Make sure nobody's on
Would you have, though?
At some point.
Wouldn't have, no.
Yeah, I think we're learning that these are all hopes and dreams of Mraz. I believe. I believe I will lose 100 pounds.
And does
I mean, that's my
need
belief.
To do that? Cap on Watch DA in the fourth square right now has me with the Just for Men face on Watch DA. Come on.
Did you need to do that?
Did you have to do that in the first place?
You guys are all lost.
All lost? Like a cartoon.
Where do we get Connor Green the money to become the executive producer and Mraz just to be the hood ornament around here?
I mean, isn't that already happening?
You know what?
Yeah, that's actually a good point, AB.
I also want to make a statement. I am off the Connor Green bandwagon here because Connor Green, I am awful next week. Connor Green, you're going to get a full week of Connor Green. So it's a good test, DA, to see how Connor Green does. I'm texting with Connor Green last night. I've already booked this guy three guests, including Forgotten Classics, without him asking. I'm getting ahead and trying to do a job while I'm off. And he's thanking me a million times, and then he leaves me out to dry with this soundcheck gimmick this morning. That I find to be atrocious by him. He should be having my back a little more since I'm trying to help him out here for next week.
Who did you book?
Did we just learn that you're a better producer when you're on vacation than when you're actually here?
The Miz is coming on next week. The Miz!
I'm sure you called him.
All right. Andrew Bogish has our headline this morning. AB, what do we got?
These headlines are sponsored by Geico, who's introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Spring training resumes tomorrow around baseball, and we're starting to learn who will not be in attendance. Nats third baseman Ryan Zimmerman and pitcher Joe Ross, Arizona righty Mike Leake, and Rockies outfielder Ian Desmond all choosing not to play this summer because of COVID-19. Desmond announced his choice in a lengthy Instagram post last night. He says he wants to be home with his pregnant wife and with his kids to answer any of their questions about the virus and the fights for social justice around the country. Desmond has been sharing his experiences as a biracial American during quarantine. As for the shortened season, games will be that much more important since there are only 60 of them. A's manager Bob Melvin says he has to do his job differently.
You probably can't be as patient as you normally are over 162, and you may have to take some guys out of the lineup or go to the bullpen a little bit earlier or do things a little bit differently because of the enormity of every game.
Melvin hung out yesterday with our Jim Rome. Sean's a fake Nets fan, so this hits close to home. Center DeAndre Jordan is out of Disney after testing positive for coronavirus. Spencer Dinwiddie has it too, but hasn't said anything about his plans. This on top of Wilson Chandler opting out for family reasons. College Poops, high school junior Amani Bates commits to Michigan State. Now, some think Bates is the best recruit in a decade, and almost nobody expects him to actually play College Poops because the days are numbered for the one-and-done rule. However, the pandemic has slowed down those talks, slightly opening up the chance that the draft in 2022, which is the one that Bates could have been in, might not actually allow him to be in it. But then again, we could also be where he's in this new G League team as well. But almost no one recruited him because they didn't think he'd go to college. Tom Izzo did, and at least for right now, Bates is committed to Sparty. And the NFLPA has instructed agents to get their clients up to speed on all the risks of COVID-19 ahead of training camp. Agents must pass along reading materials and links to informative websites, then speak with their players and encourage them to talk to personal and team doctors about any concerns they may have. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. Where were you when Tyson bit Holyfield's ear? It's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show, only on CBS Sports Radio.
What happened here?
He got bit, I think.
Evander Holyfield, look out, he's pushed right here, above us by Tyson.
He's got bit in the ear.
Oh my goodness, he's got a bloody right ear. Holyfield bit by a dirty Mike Tyson.
That audio courtesy of Showtime. 23 years ago this week, Tyson bit Holyfield's ear in Tyson Holyfield 2, the rematch. Actually, it was 23 years ago, Sunday night. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. And listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Wake up with us, get your day started with us, and hang out with us over your morning by telling your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Mraz, do you remember where you were when Tyson bit Holyfield's ear in 1997?
Yeah, I was in bed and found out the next morning and had to literally talk to my dad and not understand why a human being would do that. And it was the full topic of my day the next day. I got to remember at that time I'm only 10 years old, so staying up for a Tyson Holyfield fight probably wasn't in the cards for my parents to allow me to do. But I remember that was the first image you saw all over the TV the next morning, and it was, wait, why would he do that? How is that legal? As a young sports fan, I just couldn't comprehend it.
So your dad had ordered the fight?
Yes, my dad had ordered the fight. I'm pretty sure he watched it with two of my uncles, if I'm remembering correctly. And, yeah, that we had just recently moved to our home in West Babylon. Absolutely. I tuckered out. I was basically only staying up for Yankee World Series in those days. And, yeah, it was the next morning when that was everywhere. And, you know, basically having to have that explain where, well, this guy's a little crazy. This is exactly what happened.
This was an era where Mike Tyson was capable of anything. Mike had gone away for a bulk of the 90s, and he had gone away for the rape, and he had been in jail and then had gotten out, and nobody knew what type of fighter he was going to be. When he went in, he was obviously one of the most feared fighters in the world. When he came out, there was obviously some real reservation about just how good he could possibly be. They had set him up with a series of tomato cans to knock down, and he did do all of that, the Peter McNeelys of the world. But when Mike Tyson came out of jail, there was still this kind of real hesitation to really say, will Mike Tyson ever be what Mike Tyson was? And is Mike Tyson just flat out bonkers now? Was he always kind of crazy, and then jail put him into the next stratosphere? And should he be boxing? And what is his mental state like? And they fought Tyson Holyfield 1, and that was after they had set him up with a million tomato cans to try to get his record back and to trick people into thinking he was actually a decent boxer. It went well enough. They got enough buys to where they got Tyson Holyfield 2. And so when he bites Holyfield's ear, you have to realize at this point in time, it's very unlike what Tyson is right now. Mike Tyson's kind of a beloved figure now. He's kind of a grandfather of boxing. People are kind of still wow, look at how fast he is on the internet. Look at the social media clips. He could still fight. We should get Tyson Holyfield 4. At that point in time, he had been away and was still such an unknown after the return that people didn't know what to expect. I want to tell you about my night watching that because it was a very significant night in my life coming up here next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.